Our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise your name. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Lord, we are in the house of the Lord again. And every time we gather like this, we know there's always a blessing for us. Amen?
Amen.
Father, Lord, as we approach your word this morning, the entrance of your word gives light. Let that light shine in our hearts today. Amen?
Amen.
Bring in the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Amen. Come on. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, this morning, trailblazing faith. The trailblazers. Amen. That's what I'm going to be talking about. You know, and I'm going to start here. You'll understand the message as we get into it. I mean, you know, it's trailblazing faith and the trailblazers. And I'm going to start here this morning. Just give a little background on faith in general. Then I'm going to reveal this message. Hebrews chapter 11. Famous text here about faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Right away we see that there is a substance to faith. It's not entirely abstract. There's a substance to it. And it is the evidence of things not yet seen. Amen? So when you have faith, you know, even things that you haven't seen yet, you can declare that they already are. Amen?
Amen.
That's what that means. It's the evidence. Somebody say, how do you know it's going to happen? Because I believe. Amen? Because God said so, I believe it, that settles it. That's all you need. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody. For by it, that's by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Verse 3. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And even the things that God created, he created them out of nothing. Amen, somebody? He spoke them into existence. You know, and, you know, before there was anything made, of course, already it was in his mind. And then he spoke it out of, you know, just spoke everything, you know, out of nothing into existence. Well, praise the Lord. Now, the subject this morning is trailblazing faith and the trailblazers. Now, what is a, who or what is a trailblazer? Not somebody, you know, who's like a pioneer, you know, something that's never been done before and, you know, that they are going to do. Amen?
Amen?
You know, so I love the subject of faith. Now, you all know that. And the Lord told me many years ago, one day I was asking, I said, Lord, and I was praying about the church and so forth like that. You know, you may have heard me say this before. I said, Lord, what's the culture for the church? You know, and he said, you know, it's a faith and righteousness, you know. And then one day I was praying about some other things and I said, and the Lord told me, he said, look, he said, you're forgetting your secret weapon. And I said, what in the world is that? And he said, your faith. Amen. That's right. You know, and I love that subject of faith. And you know we do that all the time. And today it's going to be more of that faith. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. In fact, I want to share with you the stories of some people in the Bible. You know, and, you know, just like this verse in 11 of Hebrews and verse 32. I'm not going to have time to give you all the stories, you know, but I am going to read some of them and share some of them with you. So Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say then? For the time would not, I mean the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promises and stop the mouth of lions. Verse 34. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in flight. and turn to fly the armies of the aliens. Amen. And verse 35, women received their dead raised again to life, and others were tortured and so forth. You know, and all these had cruel mockings, trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, and moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain, they were with a sword, they wandered about, of whom the world was not worthy. Verse 38. They were not worthy. You know, the world was not worthy of them at all. And they wandered in deserts and all these things and so forth. And all these is where I'm going. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, yet there was something that was kept back from them. They received not the promise. In all the great works and all the great things they did, yet they received not the promise. Because God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, hallelujah, without us should not be made perfect. You know, so can you imagine all these stories? I mean, read the whole chapter and see all the heroes of faith. You know, this chapter might be called the Annals of Faith. And they put all the heroes of faith down, all the great things they did, stop the mouth of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, did all these great things. And yet, in spite of all that, God kept something reserved for us at the end. They did not obtain the promise. Because they without us should not be made perfect. Can I get amen on that? Now, first of all, your faith has to even match their faith. If you think you're going to be on the same level. You know, but then your faith has to exceed. Because you know Jesus, he was never impressed with this weak, little, unbelieving faith. That never impressed Jesus at all. In fact, he always used to rebuke the disciples. Oh, ye of little faith. You know. How long shall I be with you? He always told it. But every time, once in a while, he would see some great faith. Amen. And generally, it wasn't among the disciples. You know. Amen. That's right. You know. Wasn't among the disciples. But occasionally, he would see some great faith. And you might hear one or two of those stories here this morning. But let me tell you about some significant stories here. You know, what I'm talking about this morning are trailblazers that exercise trailblazing faith. And what does that mean? That means, you know, there are some things that they accomplished, and there are some things that they believed the Lord for, which before their time, it was not known or heard that it ever happened. Amen? Hello, folks, are you still with me? It was not known, at least by them, and it was not heard by them that it had happened or that the Lord ever did it, but that didn't stop them. They went on to believe the Lord anyway, and they accomplished some great things. And that's what I want to talk about today. You know, when you're believing God, you know, it doesn't matter whether it has been done before. Amen? Amen. Now, you know, in law, you know, there's always precedence. You know, they look for a case and say, this was how this case was decided before, and they cite this one and cite that. That's all good. And in the Word of God, that's good too. Because the Bible says the things that are written in the Bible are for our examples. So that's good. But even if I have not heard about it, even if it has not been declared to me by somebody else that somebody did it or it's been done, if I can believe it, amen, God will do it if it is according to His Word. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Now, why should I be limited by somebody else's unbelief? Hello? You know, why should my faith be determined by, okay, this is the level that somebody else has believed, therefore that's all I'm going to believe. Why should I be that way? I'm going to believe the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me show you some examples here in the Bible of some people that accomplished some tremendous things that before their time was not ever even mentioned. Now, the first person that comes to mind, naturally, is Enoch. Amen. Enoch! Not too much is known about this man, but in Genesis chapter 5, turn with me to Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 to 24. You'll see the story of Enoch. Enoch, you know, lived 65 years, and then he begat Methuselah. And after, you know, Methuselah, he lived another 365 years. And then he began, you know, and then he began to walk with the Lord, you know. And begat sons and daughters and began to walk with the Lord. Next verse. And then, listen to what happened. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. You know, after he begat sons and daughters, you know, he began to walk with God. Even when he was, you know, 365 years plus another 65, you know, he was over 400 years. But he still was walking with God. Amen. Amen. Amen, folks. And he walked with God, and he was not. God took him. Now, you know, if you read that scripture and you stop there, you may not really know all that happened to Enoch and so forth. But Hebrews gives us an understanding. In the book of Hebrews, the God now comes back and explains a little further when he was talking about, you know, these all these great things that people did and so forth. So turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. And you will see that Enoch, right on top of the list, right there, you know, because by faith, we are told that God did all these great things and so forth that he did. By faith, he created the worlds out of nothing and so on and so forth. You know, but then Enoch in verse 5 was translated by faith that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony. He had a trailblazing testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. This man pleased God by his faith. He walked with God. He pressed toward the light. Every single day, he pressed closer to the light. And finally, one day, he was united with that light. Amen. Praise God. He became all light, and he was gone. Hallelujah. Now, that's the only way, folks, that you are going to become a part of God and be united with him. Because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so Enoch, every day he pressed through, and he shed some of that darkness. And he pressed toward that light. He pressed toward that light. You know, and up until that time, it had never been known that anybody, because God said to Adam, dust thou art, and dust shall thou return. And Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. And all his fathers and grandfathers and everybody had been buried. They had died. Amen? Amen. But Enoch, he believed God. It had never been done until that time. He was a trailblazer. It had never been done that anybody would be born on this face of the earth and not die and go to heaven. But nobody believed it. Nobody even knew that it was possible. But this man, by revelation, nobody taught him but the revelation of God. Because he kept pressing towards the light. And as he pressed toward the light, God began to show himself. God said, come on now. And he pressed more towards the light. God said, come on now. And he walked with God. Now, two cannot walk together except they be agreed. Amen? Now, God's not the one that's going to agree with you. You're the one that's going to have to agree with God's word. Hallelujah, folks. Most folks are always trying to get God to do something for them. You know, that's okay if it's according to his word. But you must agree with the word of God. Hallelujah. Ye are my friends, Jesus said, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus commands, and we do. End of story. Amen. Praise God. There is no negotiation about it. He is the Lord. Hallelujah. You heard me say before, if you don't like it, you can move to another universe. Amen. Praise God. But in this universe, he is God. And what he says goes. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. So that's the story of Enoch. Now Moses, I'm going to move on right along here. And I could preach a whole week on Enoch. But you know, I got to move on. Now Moses, you know, in Exodus chapter 14. Now, some of you may know the story. And I believe that most anybody that's sitting in here today knows the story. How the children of Israel were in bondage and so forth, and God wanted to get them out of there, and he sent Moses and so on. So finally, after Moses brought them out, you know, Pharaoh and his hosts were chasing them down. You know, so in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, now Moses is faced with a situation here. Now, of course, Moses had seen great and mighty miracles that God showed him in Egypt. You know, God showed him great things, you know. But every time that Moses saw these great things, you know, God showed him something else. So he kept believing for more. But this time, you know, Moses is facing one of his greatest challenges. Because all the people that he brought from Egypt, you know, their backs are up against the wall. They've got the Red Sea in front of them. They've got Pharaoh chasing down behind them. You know. And so the people, they mocked Moses and said, look, would to God you had left us in Egypt. Are there no graves in Egypt that we should die there? I mean, that we could have died there and so forth. Why did you bring us to this wilderness? Every day his ears were ringing from all the murmurings of the people, you know, and so forth. And, you know, when they were there, they murmured against him and so forth, you know. And listen to this in Exodus 14 and 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, up until that time, it had never been heard that anybody parted the Red Sea. But Moses is about to get it done. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. That didn't stop Moses. In fact, Pharaoh, he looked at him. He said, Moses, your God is a poor general. He led you out here, and now you are stuck. Nowhere to go. But God said to the people, go forward. Amen. Don't stand there murmuring. Go forward. If you don't go forward, that Red Sea ain't going to part. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. But Moses, he stood there. And I want to read this to you. Exodus chapter 14. You can read all of it from verses 13 through 22. But Moses, he stretched out his arm, his rod over that Red Sea. And the next thing you know, God brought a strong wind. Hallelujah. And the sea went back, and the children of Israel, hallelujah, went through on dry land. Can you say praise the name of the Lord Jesus? Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and waters, you know, were divided. And the children of Israel went through the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. In fact, the sea was piled up on the left and on the right. And these people went through on dry land. Can you say praise the Lord? Up until that time, it had never been known that anybody can part the Red Sea like that. You know, but Moses was a trailblazer. He had trailblazing faith. No, you know, he wouldn't stop. You know, he needed to get the children through. Amen. God said, go through. And go through he did. Praise the Lord. Of course, you can read many, many, many more stories about Moses and all the great things that God by his hand did in Egypt. You know, but that's the only one I'm going to talk about this morning. The next person on my list here is Joshua. Another trailblazer. In the book of Joshua chapter 10. From verses 7 through about 14. Now, of course, Joshua, he'd gone against Ai and taken it. And, you know, his fame is beginning to spread all over the place. You know, so the cities of Gibeon, which are a very large city, they surrendered and made peace, a league with him. So some of the other kings, they said, well, gee, you know, this man is going to come against us. You know, so, you know, they gathered together a league of five kings and said, well, we don't know what, you know, Joshua is going to do. You know, let's band together and come up against him and so forth like that. You know, so they did that. But Joshua ascended from Gilgal. And all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. That's Joshua 10 and verse 7. Now, verse 8. You know, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, if you read the rest of the story, there was a battle that ensued and so forth. And, you know, Joshua came upon them suddenly in the night. And then, you know, they fought, and Joshua began to fight the battle and so forth. But, you know, at some point in time, you know, during the next day, the sun was about to go down. And Joshua still needed some more time, you know, to do this. So listen to this. In verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel. Now this is Joshua. He said, son, now stand thou still over Gibeon And thou moon, stand still in the valley of Ajalon. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, up to that time, it had not even been known that anybody could stop the sun. I mean, these are God's ordinances. God spoke and it stood fast. He commanded and it was done. From the day that God said, thou sun, be over there, be for light and be for seasons. That was the way it was. The moon, be for light in the dark and so forth. That's the way it was. From that day, nobody ever dared to believe any such thing. But Joshua, he dared to believe. Amen. And not only did he believe, he spoke out in the open, not in some corner. He stood out and said, thou son, stand still over Gibeon. And thou moon over the valley of Ajalon. I got some unfinished business here. Amen. I need some more daylight. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he took care of business. You know, and after I took care of business, yeah, son, you can go down now. Amen. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Now that's a trailblazer. Didn't care what anybody thought about him. He stood out and said, I want the sun to stand still. The sun stand still. I need a few more hours of daylight to finish this work. Amen. Praise God. And God, listen to what the Bible says in verse 14. And there was no day like that before or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Hallelujah. You talk about some trailblazer, some man that believed God, some man that dared to believe. And Joshua will be writing that list. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, now these are men, you know, of like passion as we were, even today. Just like passion. Amen. You know, they were not, you know, anything special. It's just that they believed God. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Now I'm going to tell you a very unusual story here in the life of Jacob. Now this is Jacob in Genesis chapter 30. And of course, you know, Jacob, he wanted Rachel, Laban tricked him, got Leah, and then he served 7 more years to get Rachel and so forth. And this man, Laban, tricked him every single time, you know, for his wages and all that and so forth. So listen to Genesis chapter 30, and I'm going to start at verse 27. So finally, this is what Jacob said to Laban. He said, you know, I mean, Laban asked him, he said, look, if I have fine favor on your side, tarry with me and all these things. Tell me what you want and I'll pay you. And Jacob said, well, you know, you've changed my wages all this time, you know. So don't tell me you're going to pay me anything. That's what we're going to do, though. You know, all the cattle that are spotted and, you know, prickled and so forth like that and are brown, I'm going to let those be my wages. Because nobody likes those kind of cattle. You know, so the ones that are good and single color and look so nice and so forth, those will be yours. Let me take the spotted and speckled ones and the brown ones that nobody wanted. You know, and that way, you know, next time you see the cattle, you'll know that these are my wages. Because, you know, if you see some cattle that is not spotted or speckled or brown, then you know that I stole them, you know. But if you allow me and pick these ones, and Laban say, yeah, you know, that's good. You know, so let's look at this, story starting from verse 27. And, you know, so that's the part, that's the preamble that I gave you. Verse 32. And I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled, and so forth. So shall my righteousness be when you see the goats and so on that are not like that with me, you'll know, and so forth. So verse 35. And he removed that day all the goats, like he said. And verse 36. He separated 3 days' journey between himself and, you know, and Laban and all that, you know. So, now, verse 37 is where I'm going. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks in them. Now, this man, Jacob, you know, we always knew him as a supplanter, you know. But, you know, I don't know how he got this imagination. He's going to change the course of nature right here. This man, Jacob. You know, if you don't know the story, you are going to have to read the story. But I'm going to tell you some of it. Now, so Jacob, because he told Laban that, look, all the spotted, speckled, and brown cattle will be mine, and all the nice, single-color ones will be yours. So Jacob is now going to say, look, this man has tricked me of my wages all these years. Now, this one he can't do. Because, you know, as long as there is speckled, spotted, and brown cattle, that will be mine. How many of you are still with me? All the other cattle will be his. So Jacob is now going to do something to make sure that there is going to be more speckled, more spotted, and more brown cattle. Jacob is going to alter the course of nature. Hallelujah, somebody. You say, Jacob, can he do that? Why, sure. Was an ordinary person, just like you, but the favor of God was upon him. Hallelujah. The favor of God makes all the difference. Now, you can listen to the message I preached about this in the anointing of increase. I talked about this thing that Joseph did in that message. Now, so here's what he did. You know, he took some sticks, and he peeled white straits, and he made them spotted, speckled, and all of these things and so forth. And then, verse 38, and he set the rods that he had peeled before the flocks when they came to, you know, to the drinking places to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods. Now, come on, folks, tell me something. Can you put sticks in front of cattle and make the cattle to conceive some color that you want? Go try it. Yeah. But this was, this man, Jacob, he didn't care whether it had been done before. Amen, somebody? He's going to alter the course of nature. Now, so he's going to make sure that all the cattle, the nice ones, they bring forth, even though they were not speckled to start with, they are now going to bring forth speckled. Amen? They're going to be brown. They're going to be spotted. So he made there some sticks. He put it before them, and so on. You know, and those cattle, when the cattle made it, they brought forth just like Jacob wanted. And every time, listen to this. The story gets even better. You know, verse 40. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straight and all the brown and so forth. And he put them in cell. And it came to pass whenever the stronger cattle. So when Jacob saw the nice cattle, which were Laban's to start with, when he saw those nice cattle and so forth, you know, and then, you know, when they were about to mate and all that, so he put his sticks in there and did his little thing. And those cattle brought forth the kind that will belong to Jacob. Amen. Now, that's an interesting story. You should read all of it. And when the cattle were little, feeble cattle, he didn't care about that. I said, well, that one will be Laban's. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, listen to verse 43. And this man increased exceedingly because he had this kind of faith, and he could do things which nobody had ever done before. Very strange story, but he did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at some more exciting and some more, popular stories that you may know or you've heard me preach. Now, David, of course, you know, I can't preach a message like this without putting David in there. Amen. I love David. My goodness. Now, David, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and you've heard the story. I preached it many times, the slaying of a giant. You can listen to the message on our website. You know, and this man, David, of course, you know, he's going to go up against Goliath. You know the story, but that's not the part that I want to talk about. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 26. Now, of course, you know, this Goliath, you know, came from the army of the Philistines and mocked Israel's army every day. And he said, look, there's no need for two armies to fight. I am one man. You choose me, you know, a champion from your side. Let the two of us fight. Whoever wins, their armies have won. And the other must surrender. There's no need for all of us to kill ourselves. Just one on one. So nobody could take the challenge. Well, you know, Jesse sent his little son David to go check out his brothers who were in the military. And when he got there, everybody was... Nobody could respond to this thing. So David said, what's happening? You know, they said, well, you know, we are in a war here. David said, I don't see any war. All I see is a bunch of cowards. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. You know, because you allow this uncircumcised Philistine to come here every day and mock the armies of the living God. What shall be done to the man that takes this man out? Hallelujah, somebody. You know, they said, one of his brothers said, you know, I know you. Are you just here and so forth, you know, to spy out the battle and so forth? Say, what battle? I don't see any battle. You know, besides, is there no cause for this? You all are not doing anything. I said, what shall be done to the man that takes this man out? So he began to inquire. He asked another person. So finally they took him to the king. He said, look, there's one guy here talking stuff. You know. I said, you know, so the king said, bring him here. And he said, you know, and the kangaroo guy, you know, if you're just a teenager, you can't go up against Goliath. And David said, says who? Amen. Amen, folks. He said, I'll tell you something, king. Your servant, I may be little, but I'll tell you what. I was in hand-to-hand combat with a lion. Hallelujah, folks. Now, I don't know if David ever heard that anybody went hand-to-hand. I'll tell you something, folks. If you have, you know, if you ever see a dog, I'm not even talking of a lion, a dog that's chewing on a bone, you try to get that bone from him, you might lose a hand. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Especially if that dog, you know, doesn't respect you or anything like that. You know, so, you know, you cannot take a bone from a dog like that. You know, I mean, they will snarl at you and do everything. How much more you're going to deliver the prey from a lion? I'm talking about a lion. Are you still with me, folks? But David, that didn't bother him at all. You know, this lion took something that belonged to him. Amen. Amen, folks. And David said, not on my watch. Hallelujah. He went hand-to-hand combat with the lion. You know, God. One day God showed me how that combat went. You said he did? Yes, he did too. Because my God, he can do all things. Amen. He can show you anything. You say, well, can you prove it? No, but you cannot disprove it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and I saw that combat. That's right. You know, finally he stuck one of his, you know, he had this little sword, you know, they had to carry in a sheath like that, so a small one. He stuck that thing up, you know, like right here, into that lion, and he tore him up. You know, that, of course, he got some bruises. They didn't tell you the whole story. Oh, yeah, he got some bruises from it, you know, but, you know, he delivered that prey from his mouth. Amen? Amen. And he delivered the prey from the bear as well. So he was telling the king this story. He said, look, you know, my God, he did all these things. He delivered all these things. He'll deliver this Philistine into my hand. And he went out and so forth. And he, of course, you know how the story went. He slew the Philistine that day. Amen? But David was a trailblazer. Because prior to that, he never knew that anybody went up against the lion and took the prey from him. A hungry lion? Are you kidding? He'll tear you up and eat you up with the prey as well. Amen? But not David. David, he had that trailblazing faith. Hallelujah! And he got back that which was his. Now, some of you, the devil has stolen something that belongs to you. Hello, folks. That devil has stolen something that belongs to you. It may be your child even that the devil has stolen. You know? Are you going to let that devil, you know, have a field day? Or are you going to go up against him in the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so David, he was a man that believed God like that. And he could do all things. Of course, you know, David, you know, while he was writing those psalms and he was a little shepherd boy, you know, and, you know, during the praise and the glories of God, you know, began to come upon him. He got tremendous revelations, you know, and who knew that he could do anything? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, one time he saw God riding upon 20,000 chariots. So he said, my land. You know, how did he do that? You know, he just saw the chariots swirling around God and God doing all kinds of things. And David said, wow, the chariots of the Lord are 20,000. You know, and he saw all kinds of revelations, and he was a prophet too, you know, prophesied about the Lord and different things and so forth, you know. So, was a great man, and he loved the Lord, he loved to sing those psalms. Praise the Lord. But there are some things that he did that nobody ever did before him, you know, some of those things I told you, but that didn't stop him. Amen? The next one on my list is Elijah. Now, Elijah was a man of like passion, we are told. But one day he said, look, there shall be no rain except by my word. Of course, you know, we don't know that anybody prior to Elijah had said it wouldn't rain. There'd be other things that people had done and so forth. You know, but that's not my story, really. The part of the story, this is in 1 Kings chapter 17. You can read from verses 1 through 16 for the whole story. But the part of the story that I want to tell today is the part where Elijah is believing or receiving or participating or helping to create multiple continuous miracles. Amen? That's the part that I want to talk about. Multiple continuous miracles. Now, as the story went, I don't have time to read it because I want to rush along here. But you can read all of it and so forth. Now, after Elijah called for the famine, you know, he went, you know, and the Lord told him, listen to this, verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So Elijah, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now, he did according to the word of the Lord. Amen? That's right. You got to do according to the word of the Lord. And he went and dwelt by that brook and so forth. And it was that, you know, Elijah had heavenly room service. Amen? Hello, folks. I say heavenly room service. You know, he will lay down to sleep. The ravens, God commanded the ravens to bring him some food in the morning. Elijah will lay down to sleep. You know, before he wakes up in the evening, there's food ready again. Amen? Amen, folks. Now, this man, he believed God for anything, you know. But finally, one day the brook dried up. And there's a story in that also. I don't have time to preach you, but I'm going to ask you the question here that I've asked the church so many times. Can God, or could God, not have prevented that brook from drying up? You know, he could, because he's God. But God didn't. He allowed the brook to dry up because there was something else that he wanted. Amen? Sometimes when your brook is dried up, you got to move on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So anyway, he moved on. God told him, go to Sarepta. You know, I prepared a widow woman there to sustain thee. Of course, Elijah didn't know who she was, but he knew the Lord was going to show it to him. And the lady didn't know anything about it, but God already said it. Amen? God has prepared somebody that put a blessing in your life. Amen? Now, whether you know it or not, whether they know it or not, God is the one that's ordering it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah, I don't have time to tell you stories here, you know, of all the things that God has prepared, you know, that he has done, you know, in my life, you know, put blessings and so forth like that, you know, so, but you believe God, and you'll see great things. Amen? So Elijah, he came, and he saw this woman, and of course, the Spirit of the Lord said, yep, that's the woman, you know. So he saw this woman gathering a couple of sticks and said, hey, lady, what are you doing? So, well, you know, I just picking up a few sticks here. I'm going to go to the house and bake something, and my son and I, we're going to eat it and we're going to die. But that's all we got left. You know, this famine has been in the land for so long. And Elijah said unto her, you know, well, that's okay. You go do as you said, but hold on now. You bake me first. Hallelujah. You bake me first a little cake. You know, and then afterwards, you bake for yourself. This is verse 13. Listen to this. Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me. And afterwards, make for thee and thy son. Now that's the word of the Lord from the mouth of Elijah, the prophet of God. For thus saith the Lord God. Now I love that part. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. He brought the word of the Lord right there. And he said, look, well, we don't know, and I don't think Elijah heard, you know, that God had ever done anything like this, you know, to just take a little something and then keep multiplying it and the thing never run out. Elijah didn't probably ever heard that it ever was done. But he didn't care. He believed God. Amen. And he spoke the word of the Lord. And he said, look, you know, thus said the Lord, the barrel of milk, you know, shall not waste. But that lady had to go and scrape. She thought she was going to scrape that barrel because that's all she had left. I only have a cup left in that barrel. Elijah said, don't worry about it. That barrel is not going to waste. That little oil that you have is not going to fail. Hallelujah! Until the day that the Lord sent for rain. From now until whatever it is, that little cup that you think you had, which was your, you thought was your last, is going to keep increasing. Amen? Amen, somebody? Elijah placed the trail of faith there again and spoke the word of the Lord and brought the anointing of increase into that woman's life right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. And even though he never knew that it had been done, he believed the Lord. You know, he spoke by God. And it happened just like he said. Praise ye the Lord. Let me move on here and tell you the story of three Hebrew boys that were taken, you know, to the land of Babylon and so forth in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. These three Hebrew boys, you may know their name. They're called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, you talk about some trailblazing faith. These people had fiery furnace faith. Amen? You know, as the story went, so Nebuchadnezzar, he made, you know, something up and said, look, you know, it's my gold, you know, image, and anytime you all hear the music, all kinds of music and so forth, you got to all bow down and worship my image and so forth. And if you do, that's fine. But at the penalty of death, if you don't, we're going to cast you, your father's house, and everybody into the very furnace. So the story goes in Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to 20. You can read all about it, you know, and I'm sure many of you know the story. So it came to pass that these three boys would not bow down. And so some of the people spy them and say, now these boys are not bowing down to your music. They're not doing any of these things that you commanded. And so they brought them to the king. And the king said unto them, well, you know, I'm going to give you another chance. You know, you can bow down right now and you can have your life. Or I'm going to throw you into this furnace right now. What's it going to be? And as this boy said, listen to this, and I love this part, verse 14. You know, so when he talked to them, he said, look, are you going to worship this golden image that I've set up and so forth? And if you'll be ready at any time, hear the music, do all of these things, bow down, it will be well with you. If not, you know, whatever, I'm going to deliver you. I'll throw you into this fire. And listen to what he said. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The bottom part of verse 15. So he said, and these people said, you know, these three guys said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said, the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you. This is not something that we need to go and think about. Amen? Hello, folks. We don't need to go and think about it. This is the penalty of death. At the penalty of death, you bow down right now, or I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. Well, I don't know that these people ever knew that the Lord delivered anybody, but they've read the prophecy of Isaiah. They had read that Isaiah 43, verse 2. You know, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Amen? And when you go through the floods, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you pass through the fire, it shall not kindle upon you. Hallelujah, somebody. So they knew the promise, but, you know, they said, well, you know, let me tell you something, King. They said, our God, you know, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Hello, folks. God is able to deliver us. So you got to settle that in your mind. And I've said it many times. That part is non-negotiable. God is able to deliver me. Amen. But for whatever reason, if the Lord chooses not to, we still will not bow down. But that's not because God can't deliver us. We know He will deliver us too. But even if He doesn't, we still will not bow down. Amen. So the king was furious. They hit the thing up 7 times. They heated it up and they threw, you know, they bound them up and threw them in there and so forth. And because the king's commandment was so hasty and everybody did it, hush, 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 even the people that threw them in were consumed with the fire. The flames of the fire leaped upon them and burnt them up. You know. And then as soon as these people were thrown into the furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar had his, you know, shield, you know, heat shield that he was behind and looking through, you know, and so forth. And as soon as these kids landed in the middle, Nebuchadnezzar looked and said, are you kidding me? Didn't we throw three boys bound into that place? How is it that I see four of them walking loose? Hallelujah! And one of them is like the Son of God. Well, I don't know how he knew that, but he spoke it forth anyway. You know, my goodness. You know, these people are the peril of death for their lives. They went in, they said, we know our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and even if he doesn't, we won't bow down. Amen? And they went in into that very funnest faith. You know, they didn't know, you know, for sure, you know, whether it will be or won't be, you know, but they had their faith, you know, but they had faith in their hearts. They knew it's our God whom we serve is going to deliver us. And my goodness, they blazed that trail. They had never heard, and it had never entered into anybody's ear until that time, that some people were thrown into the fire and they came out without being burnt. But these people believed it and God did it for them. Hallelujah. They were trailblazers. They believed God. Praise you, the name of the Lord. Well, let me jump here. There's a lot more that I need to say. And time would fail me to talk of all of these things, just like Hebrews said. You know, for all the people who subdued kingdoms, stop the mouth of lions. Well, stop the mouth of lions. Well, let me talk about Daniel then. If, you know, we're talking about stopping the mouth of that lions. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was also faced with something similar, you know, because the people looked at Daniel, because the king began to promote him, and so they became envious. So they looked at him and said, look, this man is always upright, you know, never anything wrong with him, and so forth. We're never going to find anything wrong with him to accuse him of, except in the matter of his God. You know, we're not going to accuse him of fornication, of stealing the money, of all of these things, whatever, you know, except in the matter of his God. So let's devise something. We know that this man's always praying. So let's make the king make a decree that anybody that prays in 30 days to any God other than the king, you know, must be thrown into the den of lions. So the king signed, you know, the decree. And of course, Daniel did as he used to do before. So they found him praying, you know, and they brought him making supplications. So they found this man making supplications to his God other than the king. And the king was very sorrowful because he liked Daniel so much. And said, oh, Daniel, thy God whom you serve, and so forth. Daniel said, don't worry about it. So they threw him into the lion's den, you know, hallelujah. You know, read the story, Daniel chapter 6, verses 4 to 24, you know. And then when they threw him in there, oh, the king labored all night long. He was looking for loopholes in the law of how to change the law. And he said, no law, no king, you know, the laws of the Medes and Persians. Once it is said, you cannot change it. So the man, he looked for every way to change it. You know, he couldn't do it. You know, so Daniel, they threw him into the lion's den anyhow. And the king, he couldn't sleep the whole night. You know, so in the morning, he came and said, you know, in verse 20, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. He came to the mouth of the den. Thy God, whom thou serve continually, was he able to deliver you from the lions? And he waited. There was a dead silence. He said, oh my goodness. And Daniel said, oh yes, king, I'm right here. Hallelujah. I'm right here. In fact, Daniel, he laid on one of, you know, those lions, the male ones, they had this long mane, you know, it's a nice cushion, you know, like a little pillow, you know. He was just having a time, you know. You know, and those lions, they can sat there like little cubs, you know, just sat down there and say, you know, Daniel said, well, you know, whatever, you know. They look at the lions, they look at it and say, Daniel said, well, whatever, you know. So they just felt, hey, praise the Lord. And Daniel told the man, he said, my Lord and my God, because he found no evil or no guile in me. He has sent his angel and he has shut the mouth of the lions. Hallelujah, somebody. You talk about trailblazing faith. Nobody ever heard then that you threw anybody to the lions then and came out alive. In fact, the king said, my lands, hurry up and bring him out of there. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. King didn't want that to happen anyway. So the king said, good. Now all you people that conspired against Daniel, you, your houses, your families, every one of you, in the den. Hallelujah! And the master, you know, the Bible says the lions made mastery of those people ever before they even came to the bottom. As they were dropping down, the lions were jumping up. Couldn't even wait for them to get down. Break all their bones! Meanwhile, Daniel, the night before, had been right there, cushioned by the lions. Hallelujah! You talk about a trailblazer. My, this man had some faith. Hallelujah! Praise God! You know, you said, well, are these people special? No, they are not special. They just believe God. They dared to believe that even though, you know, we've not heard before, you know, we still believe God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I don't have, you know, I run out of time. I have a lot of more good stories, you know, but I'm going to skip on account of time. But I'm going to tell you one more. I'm going to skip to the New Testament and tell you one more in the book of Mark chapter 5. In the book of Mark chapter 5, there was a story of a woman who had the issue of the blood. And this woman, the Bible says, come with me to Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to start from verse 25. This woman had the story, the story went that this woman, you know, had the issue of blood and so forth for 12 years. And she'd been doing, you know, she'd gone to all kinds of doctors, you know, physicians. She spent all her living, you know, it's like putting money in a bag of holes. You know, everything she earned, she spent it all, chasing down all the doctors, the specialists and everything. And she was nothing better. They couldn't help her. They couldn't do anything for her, you know. So, you know, now some of you may be in here today, maybe you've gone up and down. Run helter-skelter and so forth. You know, learn a lesson from this woman today. Amen. This woman, one day, you know, she heard about Jesus. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Hallelujah, folks. Now, this woman, she had never heard any such thing, that anybody touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was made whole. But by revelation, she believed in her heart. She believed God. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Amen. And you all should listen to the message, who touched me? Now, there were hundreds of people literally flocking around Jesus, but only one person touched me. Only one person touched me, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Now, is that you in the house today? Are you the one that's going to touch God here today? So this woman, she came in the press and just snuck through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And immediately, hallelujah, the blood stopped. You know, and you say, wow. You know. And immediately Jesus said, who touched me? Because he felt that virtue. Because Jesus already knew, you know. But, you know, the disciples said, are you kidding? All these people around you, and you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, yeah, this was a different kind of touch. Amen. Amen, folks. So, of course, the lady was healed. The moral of that story is, she had never heard anything like it before. It had never been reported that anybody touched Jesus' garment and so forth and was healed. But she believed, you know, that. And look, I tell you something. The Lord will be to you anything you can believe for. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Anything you can believe for. In fact, let me interject and say this right here. This wasn't part of my message, but the Lord just brought it to me. And you've heard the message, Angels on Assignment. And if you haven't, you listen to it. You know, and the Lord, you know, the Lord has these angels, you know, that are there. And Psalm 103, verse 20, will tell you that. He said these angels that excel in strength, they are hearkening to the voice of his word. So they are waiting for something. Now, the Lord showed me this a while back, and I've shared it in the church. You know, I saw some of the angels, you know, they were just morose and sad and idle and bored. Then I saw some of the others, you know, that were just so active and doing all kinds of things, moving up and down and so forth like that, you know. And Lord made me to understand that some of those idle and bored and morose and sad angels, they had nothing to do, because all the people, you know, that those angels were assigned to were not believing God for anything. So they couldn't do anything. And they were always idle and always sad. And then this sort of, and once in a while, you know, when somebody believed God, say, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, now we're going to have some action today. That's among the angels. I'm telling you the truth now. Praise God. You know, they say, well, now we're going to get some action. Finally, somebody believe in God. Amen. And God sometimes, he'll say, you know, to the angels, what's happening? They say, well, nothing. You know, nobody's believing anything. He say, well, the Lord say, well, I got somebody over here. I got my daughter such and such in such and such a place. And I got my son such and such and such. You guys go down there and make sure that what he's believing for comes to pass. Hallelujah! And it doesn't matter what you are believing God for. Whether somebody has done it before, whether God has done it. Well, of course, if God has done it for somebody before, God is not a respecter of persons. Amen? If it has been done before, it will be done again. But even if it hasn't been done before, it's what I'm preaching this morning. Hallelujah! If you can only believe God, dare to believe, and become a trailblazer, even if you have not heard that it's been done. This woman never heard that anybody touched his hem of his garment, but of course, she was made whole, just like that. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. I think I have a few minutes. I'm going to give you a couple of personal testimonies. When I was a kid, and some of you have heard this story, you know, I was about 5 or 6 years old. You know, and I don't know how I knew, and I don't know how it was, but somehow, you know, one day it was raining and all that, and I decided I was going to go out in the street and stop the rain. Hello, folks. Sure, I did. You know, some of you may have heard the story. So I went, I was only 5 or 6 years old, you know, and I went there, and it was raining, and I can't remember exactly what I said, but I commanded the rain to stop. And the rain stopped. And then I said, wow, that's good. Well, let the rain start raining again. And it did. And I did that a few times. And I said, man, this is cool. You know. So I ran in the house, you know, and being the last born of many siblings, I told the other ones, and they just laughed me to scorn. They said, get out of here. Nobody ever stopped the rain. The rain just stopped on its own. You know, and so forth like that. But deep down in my soul, I knew. And I said, well, I know what I believe. And I know, I probably didn't say I know what I believe. I said, I know what I saw. You know, because, you know, somehow I just knew that I could do it. I didn't know how I believed it. Amen. And even though it had never been done, somehow God had inscribed it in my heart. You know, perhaps, you know, by the grace of God, perhaps maybe I was born that way. You know, and I want to thank the Lord that that gift of faith that God has cherished so much and put in my heart is still working today. Amen. Hallelujah. From the time I was a little boy, I want to tell you something, folks. God doesn't play dice with your lives. Doesn't just throw your lives anyhow and see whatever happens. He already appointed what you're going to be. Even from the womb, he told Jeremiah. Hallelujah. And I see today that faith of God is working in me. And I can believe God for anything. Amen. And till this day, anything that I put my mind on to believe, God is always good. Hallelujah. Let's start to our feet here this morning. And put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to challenge some people here this morning to believe God. Perhaps there's something you are believing God for. Well, I tell you, most of the things that you are believing God for has already been done for somebody else anyway. So it's no big deal. But even if it has never been done, even if you have never heard, you know, hallelujah. Well, there's one more thing that I'm believing God for. Amen. I'm believing like Enoch. Hallelujah. That I'm going in the translation. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so help me God. You know, I'm believing God for that. Amen. And Elijah, he went in the chariots of fire. You know, one day, you know, chariots came and visited him and so forth. Well, that's wonderful. But I'm looking for the Lord himself. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. And one day, the trumpet will sound. And I am looking for the Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe God, you know, and there are some people that believe also with me, you know, that, you know, we shall not taste death, but we shall go up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, if you are here this morning and you believe God, if you are here this morning and you want your name to be written among the annals of the trailblazers, you know, God is looking for somebody that can challenge God. Those angels are waiting for some action. You know, they're bored sometimes when you're not believing God for anything. They're looking for some action. Now, will you give them some action today? Will you believe God and let God set things in motion for you? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to pray. Every time we have this consecration, I always take time to seek the Lord for something special for the people. I'm going to pray with some people right now. Amen?
Amen.
So, if you are here this morning and you need some unusual results in your life. Well, unusual results demands uncommon faith. Amen?
Amen.
You can, you know, you can, look, you've got to go beyond. You've got to step it up. Hallelujah. Step it up a notch. Now, this message is kind of lifting the bar, you know, for people. It's like, look, yeah, you know, if you have little faith, that's good too. But look, you can have tremendous faith too. Because Jesus said, oh, you know, you have little faith to some people, but then he acknowledged great faith in some other people. You know, so Jesus always loves that great faith. Now, if you want to crank up your faith here this morning, and if you want to believe God for even greater things, and if you want to say here this morning that, you know, I don't care whether it's been done or hasn't been done, as long as God has said it, I'm going to believe God for it.
Amen.
If that's you here this morning, I want you to step forward in front of me here, and I'm going to believe God with you. Hallelujah. If you say, I believe God, I don't care whether somebody has received this kind of miracle before. I don't care whether, you know, this and that and so forth. You know, all you got to do is believe God. You got to believe God. There is nothing that God cannot do. You need to take that cannot word out of your vocabulary. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is nothing that God cannot do. And the song they sang this morning is so appropriate. My God, he can do all things. Now throw your hands up in prayer. And I'm going to believe God with you. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, look at all these hands that are lifted here. These are the people that are believing God for something unusual in their lives. They are believing God for something spectacular. We've read the stories and we've heard of the trailblazers that believe God for things that they've never heard about. But they believe God. They stepped out in faith. They moved forward with God. Now, all your people that are here this morning, all the things that are holding them back, I come against those things in Jesus' name. The gates of brass and the bars of iron in your life. The Bible says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? You know, to lose the bands of wickedness. This is fasting period, folks. So we got to lose some bands of wickedness. To break every yoke and set your breast free. Hallelujah. So we're going to break some yokes here this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, folks. Amen. The yokes that are holding you back from attaining your potential in God. Amen. The yokes that are holding you back from your destiny. Amen. Your God-appointed destiny. I come against those yokes in your life. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I command them to be broken to pieces. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. Those high places, they are nothing like the place that we are seated. Amen? The Bible says we are seated with Christ above, far above principalities and powers. So even the high places that the devil is seated in is still below our feet. Now, we thrust the devil down. And we command all those peeping and muttering spirits that have tried to cover your life and have said that, aha, aha, and that you will not do this and you will not do that. I command them to fall down from their lofty places in Jesus' name. Casting down imaginations. I command all the evil spirits that have pitted themselves against the people of God. Fall down to the ground. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, Lord, let faith arise in the hearts of your people. Let them be champions of faith. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And folks, if anybody ever told you or any tells you from now on that you can't do it, get away from that person. Amen. Or command the devil to come out. You know, because one time Jesus, he said that to Peter, Satan, get it behind me. Because Peter, although he was one of his closest disciples, he had no faith, didn't believe God. He was telling Jesus he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. You know, so Jesus had to get the devil out of there. Now, Lord Jesus, all the lying spirits that have come and lied to your people that they can't do this, you can't get a job in this economy, you know. Some of you nurses that are in here, I've heard people have even told me, well, you know, Arizona, you can't get any job in Arizona. Nothing is such that, you know, that's nonsense. Amen? Amen? Even if nobody else got a job, you're going to get a job. Amen. And you're not going to just get any kind of job. You're going to get the top job. Amen. If you can believe God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now God is looking for somebody that will believe in. The people are not believing God. That's why you're not getting anything. You just go by what the world says. You go by what television says. Look, the Bible says in 1 John 5, 9, if we receive the witness of man, when you look in the television and you read the newspaper, you believe all this economic report, you believe all the words they are telling you, and so forth. If you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. And the witness of God is witnessing to you on this platform today that you can do it. You can get that job. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be above only. Yes. And not beneath. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, move the clouds out of the way. That's right. Move those clouds, Lord, out of the way. The clouds that are covering the light over the people of God. Move them out of the way, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let your people shine. Hallelujah. Let them shine, Lord, as lights in this crooked world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now put your hands together for the Lord Jesus if you believe that. Amen. Amen, folks. Now, I want you, when you wake up every morning, I want you to give thanks to the Lord. And I want you to say, look, I want you to look in the mirror. And I want you to say, my lands. You know, the glory of God is looking good on me today. Amen.
Hallelujah. You need to think good things about yourself. Because God thinks good things about you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts of good and thoughts of peace and not of evil. You know, don't say, oh, another day, another dollar. Forget that nonsense. You need to say, today is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. The lions shall fall unto me in pleasant places today. The angels of the Lord, they will attend upon my way today. Hallelujah. And you need to say to God, Father, I thank you for giving me faith to believe your word. Now, what you have promised in your word, even as you have spoken your word, that which your mouth has spoken, perform, O Lord, with your hand as it is this day in my life. Hallelujah. That's the kind of prayer you should be praying. Don't be praying these beggarly prayers and say, oh Lord, I don't know if you this and that. Forget that nonsense. God has said, hallelujah, the Lord has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. All you need to do is worry about walking in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is all you need to worry about. Praise God. You don't need to pray that God will be with you. He's already with you. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord is with them that fear him. What you need to pray about is that God should put the fear of God in your heart. Hallelujah. If you have that fear of God, God is with you. And God is going to make all grace abound towards you. So that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go forth and prosper in Jesus' name. Prosper in the name of the Lord. Attain the unattainable. Do great things. Run through troops. Leap over walls. Throw down any obstacles that are in front of you. Do this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mind. Don't be a pushover for the devil. Praise you in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give me Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. 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 Now, Lord, honor your word in the lives of your people. And bless your people and glorify your name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Put your hands together again for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you.